Simmer and Hammer. OHL Commissioner Dave Branch will join us in just a couple of minutes. Pierre Maguire, 1 hour from now. We'll get it caught up on all the hockey stuff with Pierre. Keep the wrenches coming on a wrench-throwing Friday as well at 12:00, 1200. And we'll continue to review what Sens General Manager Pierre Dorion had to say yesterday as he appeared with the boys on the drive. Well, this would have been championship weekend at the Memorial Cup out in Kelowna. The semifinal would have been played tonight, the championship final on Sunday. And Simmer, pretty good chance, I think, the Ottawa 67s might have been a part of the proceedings based on how good their regular season was.
Yeah, a shame. Last year, after, a couple of games versus Guelph, you're kind of booking your ticket to Halifax. They lose, and now all of a sudden you look at it this way. Yeah, it's one that's taken away. And unfortunately, in junior hockey, if Mr. Ball would not be back, possibly Rossi, do they have that opportunity? One thing they have done is reestablish one of the premier franchises in all of the CHL here in Ottawa. So that's certainly the future bodes well, but it hurts for a lot of guys.
For sure. These are very much uncertain times for everybody, but certainly the operators and the players and the parents, everybody involved with junior hockey, because who knows what the future holds. To kind of get some thoughts on that, some insight, we welcome to the show the commissioner of the Ontario Hockey League, Dave Branch. How are you doing this morning, Dave? Do we have Dave?
Sorry. I had muted you.
too many Zoom conference calls, eh, Dave? Or were you expecting us to introduce you in French?
JR. Listen, it's a good way to start the day. Let me say that. So great to be with you, fine gentlemen.
All right, and good of you to join us. You're living. Simmer said he was connecting with you yesterday. So you're living full time in Halliburton, like on a lake, kind of a deal.
Well, what I've been doing is spending as much time as I can at the cottage on a lake. It's a beautiful setting. I mean, we are all working remotely, of course, as we must, as we should, following government and health guidelines. So it's a great way to, kind of help the brain and stay refreshed. And as we all challenge ourselves as we enter a new world, forever to be different, and how we best move forward and adapt and continue to be, in our case, the number one development league in the world.
You would have liked to have been, I'm very sure, in another beautiful part of Canada, in Kelowna, for the Memorial Cup. This would have been championship weekend, as we just mentioned. Just kind of what are you left with? I mean, you're at a cottage, you're at a beautiful place. You'd much rather, of course, have been somewhere else. What sort of thoughts are going through your mind right now on this, what would have been championship weekend?
Yeah, it really hurt the league as well, philosophically, about having to cancel the Memorial Cup. I mean, here's a trophy that was first presented in 1919 in memory of the men and women of the Canadian forces who paid the ultimate supreme sacrifice. And, you just almost feel that you've let a lot of people down by not having the tournament 102 years in a row. But then as the gravity of the situation set in as to what was taking place around us, around the world, this was a small price to pay. When you look at the real hardships that so many people have had to endure as families, challenges with loved ones, and so forth. So I really, really appreciated the great support that our team has provided in understanding that we must do the right thing, what's in the best interests of our players, our game. And it wasn't easy, as you can well imagine, to cancel the rest of the season, cancel playoffs, cancel Memorial Cup. But as I say, it was a small price to pay when you consider everything else that's going on in the world. And, and I'm not just saying this because I happen to be on a radio station in Ottawa, but when you look at the season that the 67s had put together, it was remarkable. And when you look at the collection of players, special. Simmer, I think it's one of the better constructed junior teams that I've seen in my time, and it's a credit to James Boyd, who was acknowledged as the first recipient of the Jim Gregory General Manager of the Year Award, and of course the work of Andre Tournier and his staff etc. I mean, from top to bottom, ownership right on down through. I mean, the 67s have reestablished themselves truly as a very, very big part of the landscape of junior hockey in this world.
Yeah, and to that, Dave, to do it back-to-back seasons, I don't think any of us had the expectations for this year. Also, sadly, Jeff Hunt, this would have been, or is, he's departing. What has he meant in his ownership and his time with the Ontario Hockey League? Because he has certainly been great, not only for Ottawa hockey, but for the OHL itself.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I can always remember, you know, when Howard Darwin and Earl Montagno, two gentlemen who were the longtime owners of the 67s, they came to me and they said, Dave, we've made the decision to sell. And I just want you to know that we are going to be delivering to the league a very, in our view, special young person who has a passion for the game, who has a tremendous entrepreneurial spirit, and will be a credit to the league. And they said his name is Jeff Hunt. And he was so right. And Jeff has meant so much to the league, so much to myself personally. I mean, he's infectious. He's got 10 ideas before you sit down on thoughts and things. And just a treat. He was part of many adjustments to the way we conduct our affairs. On the ice, even, and certainly off the ice. And through it all, he knew he had a care for the players, and that was so important, is so important to us. So, yeah, Jeff is someone we're going to really miss, but, you know, the good thing is he's still on the sport landscape, and, you know, who knows what's in store for Jeff as he moves through the next chapter of his life.
With OHL Commissioner Dave Branch. So, Dave, you're just completing your 40th year, believe it or not. Well, I'm sure you know that, but for everybody that, I mean, you're synonymous with the Ontario Hockey League. Has there ever been a time in the 40 years that you've headed up the OHL where junior hockey has faced as much uncertainty as it does right now?
No, not at all. Not even close. I mean, but we can all say that, you know, people in this great country of ours, never in our times have we faced anything like this. And so it's an opportunity to refresh, renew, as they say, and how we can best go forward. I mean, we're fortunate in the landscape of sport is the type of athletes that we deal with, young, gifted people, who, if you listen to them, will have a lot of the answers for us. And they will adapt quickly to the changing world. And we're all working and challenging ourselves on that. The use of technology now will forever be a more significant part of the way we conduct our affairs. And in fact, when I get back to the office, I'm going to throw out our telex machine. I think it's time that we move forward.
that it would be. Dave, I know the NHL has talked. I know the OHL's already commented, but just to reconfirm, I guess the theory or the thought is there's no way you can start next season without fans in the stands. It's not economically feasible?
That's a process we're going through right now. I'm conducting one-on-one meetings with all our owners, and we're targeting the middle of this the next month, June, to formulate some of the building blocks and how we will best go forward in the fashion in which we will. I don't think it's unreasonable to say that, you know, our economic model is based on fans. I mean, it's the number one by far revenue stream for our teams. Over, you know, approximately 85% of our revenue is from the live gate. So it's going to be extremely problematic if we cannot start the season with fans, et cetera, et cetera. So we have to work through that yet, but that is one of the clear challenges that we have.
Dave, are you confident that all 20 of your franchises will return to play next year?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Everyone is committed. I mean, that is not an issue that's being contemplated at this particular time. In fact, in the overall evolution of our league, you know, the last few years has been one of the stronger times of the OHL in terms of the health and welfare of all our teams. So it's if a pandemic like this was going to arrive, you know, it's a funny way maybe to look at it, but it was probably a good time when you consider that our franchises have been operating well, and the tremendous resources we have at ownership and management of our teams.
It looks like, Dave, by the end of the summer, we'll have a lot of sports back. At least they're talking, no fans in the stands. A big part of the Ontario Hockey League in and around Labor Day or before is getting players up, getting to billet families, getting into school. Would you see a situation where economically the OHL could pull that off and maybe for the September, October, November, early December, just practices teams and then start the year from there?
These are some of the modelings that we're doing right now, quite frankly. And a number of scenarios are being developed and built out. The thing that we have to be very, very sensitive to is the players and their environment. And that we've got to make sure there's a level of comfort there with the players and their families and how we best go forward. And even something along the line, too, of do we now really have our players largely do their schooling online for a number of reasons, et cetera, et cetera. So all these things are being looked at. So, and in fact, we're going to have a call this coming week with our general managers and provide an outline of a virtual training camp. And that's really designed to start to prepare for the coming season with our players now. And so that we can, you know, hit the ground running when the players report in the fall, ideally.
With the commissioner of the Ontario Hockey League, Dave Branch, it looks like the NHL, Dave, at this point, while they're hoping to return at some point in the summer, will you and all the teams and everybody that runs the teams be looking at best practices, and not only in terms of how games are played, but just health and safety protocols around the athletes themselves, looking at the, I guess, the playbook or the guidelines that the NHL puts in and try to take the best things from that and if and when you return with junior hockey, do the same sorts of things?
Yeah, great comment. And first of all, we're looking at all the leagues that are starting up or are now starting to play, whether it's, you know, the Premier Soccer Leagues and single-A baseball, on and on and on. We've been looking at the work they're doing. In terms of the National Hockey League, as they always are, they've been extremely helpful and forthcoming on what they're doing. They provided me with a copy of their return to play guidelines, and we're building that out as well for our teams and so forth. So we're positioned actually in a pretty good spot, you might say, in terms of timing to learn from others and to see how we can take advantage of certain best practices and move forward accordingly.
This is and will be at some point a great year for the Ontario Hockey League as far as the NHL draft, Dave, but it doesn't look like it'll be in person. How disappointed is that for you? I know you've, well, I'm sure you've attended everyone since 1980, but just for the kids and the parents to celebrate a lot of these kids that you've probably known since they were 14 and 15 years old.
Yeah, you know what? There's some of the collateral, shall we say, damage is very much in play. Like I go back to when we first had to shut down the season, and the first thoughts that came to my mind was the most disappointing way in which an overage player would end his career in the OHL without proper goodbyes and acknowledgments. And, you know, I was talking to Austin Keating about this, you know, as you would know, an overage player with the Ottawa 67s. And I mean, he's very mature, but you could tell that, you know, it did, and it was bothersome. So, but as I said, you know, earlier as well, I mean, we're in a new world. We're fortunate we're dealing with young people. There will be disappointment, but I think on the other hand, all the players that are in our league came into the league by way of online internet draft. So this is not something that they're not accustomed to, if that's the way the National Hockey League goes. And who knows, they may still do it in person. I don't know. But the delay, I'm sure, is causing some angst. But it's part of the new world.
Dave, to finish up, you gave up, well, you're still the commissioner of the OHL, but gave up the presidency of the CHL last summer. Dan McKenzie took over. Was one of the regrets that you would have the fact that you can't give out the and do the French speaking portion of the Memorial Cup Championship Trophy presentation? Because I for one, Dave, and listen, I come to this from a place of a guy who can't speak French as well. I come from a good place. I always enjoyed that part of the trophy presentation.
Well, I'm just happy you recognize that the other language I was using was French.
So, it's about the try, right? It's always they appreciate the try.
Absolutely. And listen, I had a great coach in Gilles Courteau. He was the one that was always schooling me on that.
Yeah.
And it was an important part. It really was. But I think in the evolution of the OHL, CHL, it was timely to get up the first full-time president. Dan McKenzie is doing an outstanding job. He's going to be, and is a great addition to our team. And hey, we'll continue to evolve and grow for the betterment of the game.
All right, good stuff. Really, really appreciate an early morning visit. I know you got lots on your agenda, even as we are into the midst of an off season like we've never seen before. Really appreciate the time, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again down the road. Thanks a lot.
I certainly hope so. I really enjoyed the opportunity, and stay well, you and your families and all your listeners. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. There's Dave Branch, the commissioner of the Ontario Hockey League. Good guy. Gabriel Pizza Hotline brought to you by Pizza Perks at Gabriel Pizza. Download the Gabriel Pizza Perks app and sign up today.
Yeah, and you think about 40 years, those players you had in the 80s, and you're thinking, wasn't Jeff Brown just drafted by Sudbury? Here comes Logan. I think I remember Jeff Chychrun being drafted by the Kingston Canadians, and here comes Jacob with Sarnia. I like to imagine that, right? And the parents and the players and remembering, and been an amazing run, and it'll be a hell of a year for the draft for the Ontario Hockey League as far as, hey, we talked about Byfield and Drysdale, and a number of other players will go in the first round
Rossi,
this year.
Quinn, yeah, Rossi, a lot of players in the top 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the best years for the OHL in a long, long time. Appreciate the time and the thoughts from Dave Branch, 729. We'll take a break and back with much more. It is a Friday morning, and you are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Mesdames et messieurs, au nom de la Ligue canadienne de hockey, j'aimerais remercier et féliciter la ville de Shawinigan pour avoir présenté le tournoi de Cessé. Merci beaucoup.
Oh, man. Well, he wasn't booed like most commissioners of leagues when they step out.
And that says a lot right there. That is in Shawinigan. That's from the Memorial Cup. What year was that? Do you have a date on that?
I don't. It's recent. It's within the last few years.
I mean, there's even the old air horn going off there. Like, the people appreciate just the try, right? As Dave just was on with us, Dave Branch said that they appreciate the try. But apparently taking lessons from Gilles Courteau, the longtime commissioner of the Quebec League.
I don't know if Gilles was trying to dupe him.
Hey, Dave, sounds great. Go with that.
The government, when you go into the French language training, I don't think you're going to pass the course. if that's your get up in front of the class and give it to us. I think you're going to be having to go to summer school.
Yeah. Anyways, good sport about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And actually, Dave Branch, for those that don't know, I mean, he's synonymous with junior hockey in Ontario, with the CHL as well. He actually gave up the presidency last summer. So, as he mentioned, Dan McKenzie is the name of the new fellow. I don't know him. I don't know where he's from.
No, I don't either.
But he would have been taking over the trophy presentation. Yeah. So we wouldn't have seen Dave's French this year anyway at a Memorial Cup.
And thinking of Dave Branch and thinking of the time and when I got drafted in 1985, really one of the biggest challenges they've faced, other than the moving around of franchises. When he talked about the virus, I thought, well, you got three franchises in the United States, so that's a bit of an issue. But the big thing has been the challenge, or basically the fight between, first of all, how to handle imports, and then the biggest one has been the NCAA, right? And that's just been an ongoing battle for the Ontario Hockey League from the time I got drafted, but more importantly, finally introducing the education packages, where unfortunately for many of the kids or people that when I played, you know what, you finished at 20, you looked around, maybe you went went to university, maybe you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys just never went anywhere, and a lot of NCAA schools jumped on that and looked and said, listen, where do you think most of these guys are going without an education? So I like the fact that they put that in, and you look at Ottawa U and you look at Carleton now, these are not only great schools, but they're really good hockey programs for the guys to continue on.
University hockey in Canada, U Sports hockey is fantastic.
It really is. Yeah. It's just as good as most programs in the United States outside of, you know, some of the superstar players. So, no, I think that was that whoever came up with that idea. Now, it's cost the team some dough, but it's certainly been well worth it.
Yeah, I think for sure. Like when you think about it, your typical junior hockey team, you got 20 to 23 guys on it or whatever. Like, how many guys really, realistically, I mean, the 67s this year have a star-laden team.
Yeah.
But for your average team, there is maybe, at best, one guy or two guys in any given year who get drafted into the National Hockey League, let alone actually get signed to play professional hockey. Like, for 90% of kids who are playing in junior hockey, and again, from 16 to 20 years old, these are the best of the best of every kid you saw play minor hockey.
Yeah.
That's it. It's over.
Yeah. And honestly, I think to 1985, and I think we had 10 guys get drafted, a bunch of others. My buddy Mike Glover, Dan Curry, Steve Bisson, they're all local players. But when you look back to it, and I'll say this a year before, take in consideration, 1985, Sioux Greyhounds, not there, but they went 33-0. Terry Christmas, a coach. You kind of go down that roster, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but Jeff Buchman was on the blue line. They had a couple of other guys up front. Bob Probert had been traded to them, but great players like Wayne Gruhl and Graham Bonner never played. Like, he went through one of the best junior teams of all time, and very few of them ever played in the National Hockey League. So you're so right. London is certainly different than what you see out of a lot of teams, where there's other clubs that won't turn out an NHL player for 3, 4, 5 years.
Right. All right, couple of wrenches on this wrench-throwing Friday. Don and Kanata, wrench the NHL for meddling in the draft lottery. That's from Don.
If I get corona, I get corona. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying.
Nice. Yeah, nice. Don, what did you think of Pierre Dorion's comments yesterday? And again, he appeared on The Drive with Ian and Steve yesterday afternoon on him saying that Pierre Dorion, that he was happy with the way the NHL decided to do the draft lottery. Is that speaking from the, you know, hey, we all got to be on the same page? Or do you think he actually feels good about it?
No, I think he feels good. I hey, the fact that the league played the final game and they lost L.A., they've got the 2-3. Pretty good chance, or a chance the Islanders losing the first round could be 13-15. They're in a good spot. Now, have you totally set yourself up? Now, you have to do this for the fan base because a bit of the sky is falling for some people right now. Do I believe deep down that he's prepared for 5 and 6? Okay, it's a good draft, but as I've said, I would think if I'm the general manager, Pierre Dorion, I want one of those picks to be in the top three. And then if the other one ends up being 6, I'm fine. But no, as far as the rules themselves, I don't think he has any issue.
Yeah, he one of the things he did mention yesterday regarding, hey, we know we're going to get as good as 1-2, in worst case scenario, 5-6 in terms of those two top picks. He said the only difference is the 1 and 2 would have a chance to play in the National Hockey League next season.
Yeah.
The 5 and 6, probably not.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. You never say never, but that is the difference. But he said, we know we're getting two really good players.
Yeah, no, and you're trying to think of, by all accounts, now I don't know about the two Swedish kids, where they kind of slide in, but if the three big boys go in Stützle, Byfield, and of course Lafreniere, and then the way Sanderson's rocketed up in Drysdale, well, I know I'll get one of the D-men, and then if I end up getting Rossi or somebody else, I look at this and I keep going back, and I put out a poll yesterday, and I'll kind of give the results later. I asked people, I say Norris is going to be a top six center. What would you like to see as his kind of combo to be the other top six center? And I put down Logan Brown, put down Colin White, put Byfield and Stützle, and Byfield was leading by a lot. And I have to think deep down that they're looking that and realizing, would we like Stützle? Sure. Would we like Rossi? Sure. But do we need the size of Byfield as a combination? And man, oh man, would that be a fun group? That would be just my speculation.
Right.
That if they don't end up with Lafreniere, if Byfield was number 2 and at number 6 you get one of the D-men, I think you'd be thrilled.
Yeah. Chris texts in at 12-1200. Something about this Lucas Raymond kid in Sweden seems like the Sens will be high on him. That comes from Chris. I don't know where he's coming from on all that. My only thought of it is, and I just know this based on – how people generally feel. And we got there's a cottage industry of people who are right into the draft and looking at YouTube and all that other stuff. But for the most part, people are going by other people's lists. And, exactly. and those other people, half of them don't know what they're talking about, quite frankly. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, I trust the Craig Buttons of the world, the guys that have been watching these guys since they've been 16 years old. But for the most part, nobody really knows at the end of the day. The one thing I will say, and I think by and large, Ottawa's scouting under Trent Mann, and Pierre Dorion plays a huge role in it as well, but the scouting staff has done very, very well. One thing they have done is they have gone, I don't know if off the page is the right way, but if you think about some of their picks, they have been, and we don't know if they're going to pan out. I'm talking about the recent kids now. Lassie Thompson went ahead of where a lot of people had projected him to go, right? The Sens took him at 20 or 21, whatever it was. He was projected to be around 30. Yeah. Shane Pinto was taken with the 32nd pick, the first pick of the second round last year. When the first round ended and you know, we had the entire Friday night and Saturday morning, it was all about Ottawa's got the first pick. What are they going to do with it? Yeah. Here's all the kids that we thought were going to go in the first round. Nobody, and I say nobody, was mentioning Shane Pinto. Yeah. And then they picked Shane Pinto.
Yeah.
Shane Pinto looks like, and again, not in the National Hockey League yet, looks like a hell of a pick right now.
Yeah.
So would it surprise me if Ottawa went, we'll say, off the page a little bit with one of the two picks, one of the top two picks?
Yeah.
It wouldn't, actually,
no,
quite frankly.
No, and hey, we'll probably break down the NFL draft and so much conversations about quarterbacks, and that's also very immediate. So we look right away and say, what the hell was that team doing? But in the case of the NHL draft, it's not necessarily going off the page. The problem is that most people that are supposedly in the know are fed so much BS, really have no clue what the Ottawa Senators are thinking. And I've said to you, like, the one I recall the most was sitting on the draft floor, and all of a sudden it's the Calgary Flames picking, is Tommy Thompson. They drafted Derek Morris, and a lot of people are like, oh my God, what are they thinking? They don't know what they're talking about. Well, Derek Morris, if you go back to that draft, was just one hell of a pick. So I agree with you. It's just confidence. Hey, this is our list, not somebody else. It's not a popularity contest. And I do wonder with the Swedes, because traditionally, Ottawa's had a pretty strong group that have come out of there.
Mm-hmm.
They're very intriguing, because I they're World Junior. A lot would be that. A lot of, you know, that's your peer group. What did people think? But when you're going to scout them in their league and they don't play very much, they don't put up much for points, this is a big-time projection. And you could have somebody on your staff and Mr. Mann who looks at one of these guys and said, wow, this guy's a sleeper of the draft. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
So us speculating, and this is always what I've, you know, I don't want to get it. When I went to watch Rossi play, I was like, wow. And when I saw Jack Quinn, I was like, wow. If I can see them live, that's great. I'll weigh in. But watching a little bit of TV, in the case of the Swedes, I couldn't tell the two of them one between the other.
Yeah, yeah. But I guarantee you, Simmer, what will happen is if they take one of those two, let's say that they take, you know, Raymond or whatever at 5 or 6 or something like that, I guarantee you that, first of all, the fan base will not be happy.
Yeah.
And secondly, the old draft reviews that come in, the very, you know, who are the winners and losers of the 2020 draft?
Yeah.
Ottawa will be a loser. You know, they reached for so-and-so.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, nobody knows at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And nobody, none of these draft nicks ever really, or not a lot of them, go back 5 years and show their work from 5 years ago and go, okay, they nailed every single, you know, their order was absolutely perfect.
No.
There are misses all the time.
Yeah, and when I also say the Swedish effect, like, you know, when you draft a kid like Brännström's a major piece of a trade. Hey, I know that year he was pro, but almost all of your analysis would have gone back to his draft year into the World Junior, right? Where you're very high on the player. I mean, that's a major move to make for right now. We'll see how it pounds out. The only thing I agree with what you're saying, but I say after making, and when we were sitting there, and I think Ian asked me and Lee, hey, who do you think they're going to pick? 2 seconds to go. I said, oh, I think they're taking Zadina. I think with where Mann is at and with where the organization is at, since the Tkachuk pick was made, I think people will be a little, you know, I think they're entering more into the zone like, oh my God, Ottawa must really know something versus you guys are complete idiots. That's for now.
Fair
point. Two years from now, they'll be saying you're a complete idiot if you're wrong. But
it takes one miss
the
previous year to make you an idiot the next year.
Oh, it does. But even with Batherson, right? Like you start to look in Pinto.
Right.
I think that and other teams, and this is where New Jersey was forever in Detroit, you'd be sitting at a table and suddenly one of these guys would get drafted like Zetterberg and you'd be like, oh my God, if Detroit or New Jersey, your manager wanted to know why you didn't draft him. And I think Ottawa was getting pretty close to that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. And it's what have you done? And
versus idiot move. It's a bold move.
Hey, yeah, indeed. Know? So my point in all this is, at this point, if you're the Ottawa Senators fan base, Do you trust the scouting staff? And I would say if we put that out as a poll question, that may be a good one closer to maybe June the 26th on draft lottery day. I would say the vast majority of this people, and I think you're absolutely right, the Tkachuk pick over Zadina, who was the people's choice, and the way it's looking right now for all the different reasons, both play on the ice and everything else that Brady Tkachuk brings to the table, that buys you a lot of currency for really a lot does. Of years right now. Like, imagine the Ottawa Senators right now if they had have taken Philip Zadina instead of Brady Tkachuk from all the different perspectives. And I'm not saying that Zadina won't be a good NHL player. Well, you know, he was with Detroit at the latter part of this year, and he was starting to score a little bit.
Yeah.
But all indications are that, you know, he is not a for sure right now.
No,
you don't know
no.
for sure that he's going to be an elite player. I will say I think Brady Tkachuk is going to be an elite player. I absolutely. And the rest of the package he brings to the table, that makes it a home run pick.
Oh, the guy's been a dream. I mean, in every freaking level you could. Also, you could have passed on the pick and then said, Colorado, you take it, and we'll take Bowen Byram the next year. Or you roll the dice and you end up with Jack Hughes, right? Like, if I said to you right now, who'd you take, Jack Hughes or Brady Tkachuk? I know Jack Hughes is going to be a real good player. I'm not just saying this after this year, but it's at least a conversation. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a big deal, where that was the whole, oh, my God, Colorado's going to end up with Jack Hughes. The sky's falling. Why are they taking this Tkachuk guy? So that's the draft. And like I said, I my gut. Lafreniere checks every box possible, right?
Yep.
Other than being a center. That's the only thing he doesn't. So
he drives play as well as a center does anyway.
Yeah, for sure. So your heart is set on that to some extent, where if you're Pierre Dorion, you're saying, man, could our franchise ever use that on every single level? Second, boy, we could use a big center in Byfield, depending on what you think of Logan Brown. And then I'd be curious on a guy like Stützle, but I have to think, if you're deep down sitting there as a general manager, and hopefully the golf glove works, because I love the old late great Pierre Dorion Sr., I have to think your heart's setting that you hope you can come out with Lafreniere or Byfield.
Right. So now we've moved from you got to have a pick in the top three to Simmer now. And now you got to have a pick in the top two, is what you're saying.
This is just me reading whatever tea leaves. And I got no tea. I got a black coffee and a bottle of water in front of me. That's just my gut feeling.
Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store poll question put together by Simmer and Hammer is this. Do you have faith that Eugene Melnyk and Pierre Dorion can follow through with a plan and deliver a cup contender? What is your faith level? Do you have faith that they will follow through on the plan? It's a simple yay or nay. What's the genesis of this question? And the timing?
Just wondering.
Just
that yesterday and just continuing. Just the feeling that I think people are actually, you know, I've heard some comments and it, what's that, Twitter handle reappeared yesterday? Jack Maxwell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's back again, is he? He's a Sen super fan. Huge fan of Eugene Melnyk.
He was at the gift shop and bought a hat 60% off. I know it doesn't take much because people want to believe. I think people are moving in a little different direction. So I thought, you know what? If we did this a couple of months ago, it might be 80-20. No, I don't believe. I'm just curious to see, because I think people right now, as it sits today, are feeling pretty good about the Ottawa Senators.
All right, so your thoughts. Go online, tsn1200.ca, scroll down the right-hand rail, and vote on our web poll question. Do you have faith that Melnyk and Dorion can follow through with the plan and deliver a cup contender? All right, we'll take a break at 7:50. Stand by within 5 minutes. Yes, it is the official. Do not accept any invitation. TSN 1200 Draft Lottery Simulator. Big Red re-kicked things off a couple of days ago. And delivered 2-4. Not bad compared to his track record. We'll see if we can go better than that, or if we go into the weekend on a so-called losing note. All right, so we'll get into that. Pierre McGuire will join us after 8 o'clock. More wrenches on a wrench-throwing Friday as we carry on this Friday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
Is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 7:55. Quick wrench on this Wrench Throwing Friday from Josh. Wrench to the Friends of Canada group stopping me from buying a condo on a beautiful golf course. That comes to Josh. Don't be sending me these wrenches.
You fell, you fat pig. Have another donut.
Come on. Won't be paving over my golf course, for goodness sake.
Problem with the Canada people, nobody wants affordable housing.
Look, Simmer, always on the side of the good people.
That is crazy because, as I said, my parents, I think 1991, I don't even know what the hell road they were on, but right to our yard, I think you cross the street, and the back tee was right out the backyard, and it was a straight out, and I think you said they've reversed it, but it was a straight out, houses on the left, I think par four, leaving the house. But at that time, only nine holes was old. Kanata Lakes is what it's called, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kanata Golf Course now.
Beauty spot.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah. It's a good spot. Yeah. Back onto a park that used to be a hole in the golf course.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
okay.
That's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. If you like your soccer and you like lots of it, how about this news? The Premier League announced yesterday they are going to, and this is all based on approvals from levels of government in England, but they're going to restart on June the 17th. And how about this? They are going to because there's going to be no fans at the games. They're going to, and right now games run concurrently, as we know. But they're going to stagger kickoff times so that all games, there's no games that overlap each. So there normally is a triple header on Saturdays. They're going to add another game.
Oh,
so
nice.
You're going to have four soccer games on Saturdays. They're going to add two games on Sundays. There's going to be a quadruple header on Sundays. They already have Friday night and Monday night matches. They will remain. And then on the weeks they have midweek games, they're going to do double headers at 6 and 8 o'clock. So, man, if you like your Premiership soccer, you're going to get your fill of it starting in the middle of next month.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. It has to be some worries being in London, England. Obviously, the density of population, right, where we have some nice weather. We've got the ability to pop out. Everyone's respectful of space. Not that they're trying to keep people inside all the time, but this has to help. Did you see what they were doing in Holland yesterday as far as some of the screens that they were using?
Are you talking about in the soccer stadiums?
Yeah, in the stadium.
I saw it, but I didn't retain it.
So what they did, what it looked like, at least, they put up screens, and I just thought of how creative teams could end up being.
Oh, with fans on them.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
And it looked like that it was basically fans that were watching. Now, I don't know if you do a time.
You're talking about television screens on the lower level of the stands. Yes.
And so the players, it's like they're there, and they're probably piping in. But honestly, think about, now, hockey, you get hit by the old biscuit there. You probably break the old TV. But some of the things that you could end up doing. Now, I don't know if you have a mute button or you have to do something special that if you all of a sudden, you know, get crazy in your living room or say something stupid, they cut you off. But I think there's some really neat things here from a technological standpoint that probably you see that idea. Now the next group says, hey, if I'm a TV company, do I do a sponsorship and start doing something? I'm not going to put a TV set in every seat, but you probably could do some things and have some live feeds and maybe have some crowd noise.
One of the things that they are experimenting with in the Bundesliga in Germany with their televised soccer is, and I'm not sure if all the matches were like that this week or just some of them, is that they are piping in fake sound, into the broadcast for people watching it. And people, you know, I think the instant thought of it without hearing it is, I don't like it. It's not authentic. Yeah, the stands are empty. You can put placards up there or television screens or whatever, but it's fake noise. But then it actually happened, and people said, look, if you've got a guy on the audio system who knows what he's doing, and you know the chants and everything that go on during soccer matches, if you do it at the right point, it actually added to it. Yeah. So it was interesting that people and you know that watched it sort of play itself out, actually, some people actually thought it was okay.
And when the NFL said it, and that was kind of my point, is that there's no rhyme or reason. Well, cheering in the NFL is only because something happens. I think a soccer match, you could do it for now, the part you'd need, right, is some spacing, where the great part about soccer matches, everybody's chanting and singing the minute that the team either makes a great save, the home team, or you go on an offensive play, right? All of a sudden, there's a big swell of noise. But no, I think you can get away with that. And there's probably a lot of home fans that probably just really enjoy hearing the chants, and they're probably chanting along at home.
By the way, Atletico Ottawa unveiled their new home kits last night on a Facebook Live feed. What'd you think? You got a chance to look at it on social media?
Yeah, no, I thought it was cool. You know, backdrop, it looked like kind of an open field, but I think they're really cool uniforms and really not breaking that much tradition as far as Ottawa colors, other than I didn't see any black, but I think they've got really neat uniforms, so not really liked it. What about you?
Yeah, same. Well, and we had been led to believe that they would, in a way, replicate Atletico Madrid, who are they, of course, tied at the hip with their look, which is the vertical red and white stripes, and that indeed is the way it looks. It's got a little maple leaf on it for the Canadiana portion. It's got some blue lettering as well, but I think it looks as the kids would say, tight.
Yeah.
I think it looks nice.
Oh, for sure. Yep. Sharp kit.
Yes, exactly. And hey, you drop kit. You feel like you know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Anyway, you can find out more information. And I don't know if they're going to be bleeding out some gear here pretty soon, but at the Atletico Ottawa website. All right, let's do this thing. It's 8 o'clock.
Are you ready?
And now,
for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world,
this is the main event of the evening.
Let's get ready to rumble!
It's time for the TSN 1200 Draft Lottery Simulator.
Yeah, you know, the whole presentation may be a bit over the top. We're hitting a computer screen and hitting a, you know, hitting a button. But listen, this is the world. This is the pandemic world we're living in right now. Nothing is too over the top.
No, and it's 4 weeks today. I think some of Hammer's best work right there. I don't think anything right now. We're on the countdown. It'll be 4 weeks today. That'll be a pivotal day in Ottawa Senators franchise history.
All right, so I got the button in front of me. And depending on how I do today as I hit the button, will determine if I should continue with this or maybe Simmer takes over as of Monday.
Well, we could even rotate to Hammer. We'll keep score, right?
Okay.
And then we'll do a little rotation if we've got...
So minimum is you got to have one of the two picks in the top, what, two or three?
Well, we'll just score who's better. You have to.
How about this? You got to get one in the top three to continue to hold the button.
I agree.
Okay.
The winner come June 26th gets to hang out, or whoever has the most success gets to hang out with Mr. Dorion during the actual draft lottery.
Well, I thought that's what Big Red was going to do.
Oh, no. He's out now.
Oh, Big Red's out? Oh, you fired Big Red?
Now going to be one of the three of us now.
Okay, all right.
That get to hang out.
You get to sit on a hot roof and drink that Coors Light with Ian and Lloydie. That's your prize.
All right, let's do this thing. We got a drum roll ready to go.
Ready?
Yeah, all right, let's do it.
Come on! Yeah.
All right. Okay.
That face.
Simmer, are you ready for Monday?
Oh, no. Here we go.
Okay. Sorry, folks. I didn't deliver the good news coming into the weekend. I got Ottawa's own pick at 4.
Oh, boy.
I got the San Jose pick at 5. What is the freak with Jersey? Oh, now I got Detroit keeping the number one pick.
Okay.
All right. Detroit gets the number one pick. New Jersey slides up to number 2, ooh, and then out of nowhere, number 3, the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, wow.
Right there, and I got Ottawa at 4 and 5. So I have lost control of the button. Sorry about that, everybody. I wanted to do a good job going into the weekend, but again, we got 4 weeks to get this thing right. So it's like the simulator is a little bit rusty.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a WD-40, that bad boy, over the weekend, and buff it up a little bit. June 26th rolls around, Pierre Dorion will be sliding on his late father's golf glove for good luck.
Yeah.
And we'll have this thing down to a science.
Well, and that was just a warm-up because we're going to also call it now the top 20 because we got 20 spins left, boys. Hey, right?
That's true.
Four weeks. So next week we'll start. 20 will be our countdown. Hey, top 20, Hammer.
Nice. All right, 8:04. We'll take
a break. Your turn on Monday, though.
The latest news, I tell you what, man, it is an ugly situation going on in Minneapolis right now, Minnesota, with the ongoing protest. Chris Holsky will bring you the very latest on that. And then when we return, we'll return to the hockey talk. Man, Jack Eichel went off on the Buffalo Sabres yesterday. We'll get the thoughts of Pierre Maguire. Is Jack Long for Buffalo? We'll get into all of that and the latest comments from Pierre Dorion as well with Pierre Maguire. And that is next on TSN 1200.